Rapids, 1320 AM, and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
Your hometown station for news, talk, and sports. Locally grown radio is 97.5 FM and WFHR, 1320 AM. This is the CBS World News Roundup, sponsored by Staples.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
Oh, no, 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 no.
A massive Israeli airstrike has killed dozens of people in residential areas of southern Gaza, where thousands are packed in after fleeing their homes in hopes of crossing over into Egypt ahead of a planned Israeli ground invasion. The crossing remains closed, with humanitarian aid piled up on the other side. President Biden will arrive in Tel Aviv tomorrow. The National Security Council's John Kirby.
On the same day, he will travel to Amman, Jordan, where he will meet with His Majesty King Abdullah, the Egyptian President Sisi, and Palestinian Authority President Mahmoud Abbas.
The Israeli military says Hamas is holding nearly 200 hostages, among them 21-year-old Maya Shem. Her mother made an emotional appeal today.
I'm begging the world to bring my baby back home. She only went to a party, to a festival party, to have some fun, and now she's in Gaza.
Hamas military wing released a video showing Maya's arm wrapped in bandages. A funeral's been held for the 6-year-old Palestinian-American boy stabbed to death in suburban Chicago. The family's landlord, 71-year-old Joseph Zuba, has been charged with a federal hate crime. The child's mother was also stabbed but survived. CBS Chicago's Tara Molina.
She told investigators, quote, Zuba is an angry man who knocked on her door Saturday and, quote, told her he was angry at her for what was going on in Jerusalem. She told police, she said, let's pray for peace. And that's when he attacked her with a knife.
Today, lawmakers in the House will try to elect a speaker again. Jim Jordan's hoping he'll get enough support from Republicans to win approval in the full House.
We get back to work for the American people. That's what I'm committed to doing, and I think it's going to happen.
During a campaign stop in Iowa, former President Trump took time to react to a new gag order that bans him from speaking ill of prosecutors, possible witnesses, and court staff in his election interference case in Washington.
They put a gag order on me, and I'm not supposed to be talking about things that bad people do. And so we'll be appealing very quickly.
Mr. Trump will be back in a New York City courtroom today for his civil fraud trial there. They promised to make frizzy hair shiny and smooth, but the FDA says hair straightening products that contain or emit formaldehyde increase the risk of uterine cancer in women. It's proposing a ban more than a decade after cosmetics industry experts declared those products unsafe. S&P futures down 9. This is CBS News.
Staples stores provide innovative products and services for small business, remote workers and learners, even teachers and parents. Explore more at your local Staples store.
Gillette Intimate gives guys a gentle and easy shave on there. And around there. And even under there. Don't treat your groin like junk. Respect it with Gillette Intimate, the best a man can get. Buy now at a retailer near you.
Fall into a hiring spree with Indeed. Their end-to-end hiring solution makes it easy to attract, interview, and hire candidates. Sponsor a job and instantly receive a short list of quality candidates whose resumes on Indeed match your job description. Visit Indeed.com/credits.
Exergen thermometers are a top choice of medical professionals at highly ranked hospitals across the U.S. With kids back at school, keeping them healthy is important. Make Exergen Thermometer the chosen thermometer for your home or business to check for fever, where accuracy matters. When measuring temperature at home and at work, use an Exergen Thermometer to keep your family and your colleagues safe. Available at Walmart and other participating retailers. Learn more at Exergen.com.
Hey, what's up, y'all? I'm Kelly Clarkson, and as the daughter of a school teacher, I know just how important education is. No matter how old you are or your situation, continuing to learn will enrich your life and help remove barriers you didn't even know were there. So much opportunity, y'all. Whether it's a foreign language, history, or a different way to look at things, take some time each day to learn something new. This message is courtesy of the United States Air Force.
The Morning Show on WFHR. It's informative.
Have neither of you been on sleigh rides before?
Yeah, never, never. No. I've never been on.
Really? Mm-hmm. I've been on like dozens. Oh, my gosh.
We gotta do
and that. I don't even like winter.
What kind of life are you living, Seth?
He was way up in the, he was in the, like, really.
Northern Minnesota, yeah. I mean, come on.
Every neighbor has a sleigh in their barn.
Big words from someone from Toma.
Oh, it's on now, bro.
Every weekday from 8 to 10 on Locally Grown Radio.
Here's your forecast from Locally Grown Radio, WFHR. A frost advisory continues until 7 a.m. this morning. Sunshine mixed with clouds at times. Today, daytime highs approaching 59. Winds out of the west around 5 miles per hour. Lows dip down to about 46. Tonight, cloudy skies. Overcast skies. Tomorrow, scattered rain showers likely. High of 60. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 32.
From Lake Wazeecha and beyond, your news, talk, and sports is Locally Grown Radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Flynn Direct, weekday afternoons from 3 until 4 on the Civic Media Network and on the Civic Media app.
All across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlove.
7:06 now across Wisconsin on this Tuesday, October 17th. Welcome back to Up North News Radio on this National Pasta Day. National Wear Something Gaudy Day, National Women in Military Service Day, and one especially for me, National Clean Your Virtual Desktop Day. Let's see if I can tell how many tabs do I have open right now. 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15 at the moment. I'm sure there's more that are reduced in some other place, but this might be a good day for some of us to look at some of those open tabs and say, hey, are those really necessary? Coming up this hour, Wisconsin pioneered the role of agricultural cooperatives. Perhaps it is time to go back to the future. We'll talk to an expert about the value of cooperatives to a local economy, and we'll explore what the greater economy might look like if we had more co-ops to help democratize the markets. Courtney Berner is our guest, along with Hans Breitenmoser. We were talking with Sam Davison in the last hour during our history break and music lesson, and I wanted to share one comment coming from one of our Racine area listeners who says in his text message, his or her text message, it's from Deanna in Lake Geneva. See, sometimes you can just read to the end of the message and see who sent it. Deanna in Lake Geneva writes, not a boomer, but I love the remake by Fall Out Boy. Reminds me of all the crud that's happened. Sums it up
sounds
pretty well.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, I would go with that, Deanna. Yes. A lot of crud has happened in your lifetime that, and maybe it's just, again, the melody that Billy Joel was mocking himself. Maybe you need a song with modern lyrics, but maybe, I mean, I'm sure Fall Out Boy kind of amped up the volume a little bit, but maybe you just need an entirely different way to give that history lesson. I'm not sure, but, you know, appreciate the input on that. We wanted to cover a few other topics that we haven't had a chance to unpack yet in terms of, you know, news headlines on the day. The state Senate and the state assembly are in session today. We'll go over some of the bills that they are considering as they are both in floor sessions later on at the state capitol. We'll talk about Supreme Court Justice Rebecca Bradley speaking at a far-right conference, but also something that caught our attention. It's mostly from Minnesota, but does impact some Wisconsin healthcare providers. Basically, a growing number of doctors say they've had it with clinics embracing chronic understaffing and putting profit margins over their medical missions, and they're unionizing. So it's most certainly worth a discussion. Discussions that I have been, you know, privy to knowing other people in the healthcare industries about the problems with understaffing, with allowing some of your best folks to be, you know, poached by other places that are understaffed and trying to compete for the best people out there. And as a result, the physicians in this case say that, you know, they need to make a statement somehow. Now, it was just the other day that thousands of healthcare workers for Kaiser Permanente, located out on the West Coast, reached an agreement that prevented further symbolic strikes or actual work stoppages. And the central issue there, again, was understaffing. And the concern that doctors have, that it gets them away from patient-centered care, because they can only see so many people that they're asked to see in the course of a day, and it becomes much more computer input of billing codes and things like that, rather than taking the time to sit with a patient, get the patient the care they need right away, as opposed to having them wait because a certain specialist isn't there, or they don't have enough nurses or techs or others to do the amount of procedures that they might have done in the past. It's a big step for doctors to unionize. It was something that, oh, many decades ago now, when it would come up, doctors would have been among the first to be against any kind of union activity. But this isn't the same economy that it was decades ago. So that you have everybody from auto workers to coffee shop baristas to now physicians saying that forming a union might be the only way to have a collective voice and insist on changes in the workplace. So we'll see if that happens with the doctors in Alina, who, again, are mostly in Minnesota, but also some are in western Wisconsin as well. And perhaps at some point, I know we mentioned it briefly with Dr. Kristen Lyerly, we may have another guest on at some point to talk about the kinds of things that can be done. I mean, because after all, demographics aren't in our favor. Again, more baby boomers retiring all the time. You've had Republicans for decades fighting against legalized immigration expansion and reform. And so there's only so many people that say, well, maybe I'll switch gears and go into a career in healthcare. But these are issues that are going to impact a lot of us in Wisconsin, especially, you know, around northern and rural parts of Wisconsin. So we'll continue to follow that for you. Let's take a break here. Then we'll get into what the legislature's talking about today. And we'll get the weatherology forecast and a quick look at sports as well. And then we'll talk about cooperatives in Wisconsin in our second half hour. This is Up North News Radio for a Tuesday. We'll be right back.
DoorWorks, I have a serious problem, and I don't know if I need you or an exorcist. My garage door opens all on its own without me pushing the button or anything.
Ma'am, let me do a little investigating, and I'll have an answer for you in no time. I discovered the problem, but it took a little detective work. Your equipment is absolutely fine.
Is it possessed, then?
No, ma'am. It's much simpler than that. Sometimes a low battery can trigger the door to open randomly. We've cast out your dead battery, and your door is working fine.
To everyone who appreciates a fresh meal that comes from the heart, let our team member Emma tell you what's special about the Culver's way.
We take great tasting burgers seriously in Wisconsin. Favorite recipes, fresh ingredients, real Wisconsin cheese. It's a place where traditions matter. So of course it's where Culver's Butter Burger was born. Fresh, never frozen beef with a lightly buttered toasted bun.
What can we say? To us, it's a whole lot more than a burger. From Wisconsin with love, welcome to Delicious.
Culver's, 8th Street South, Wisconsin Rapids.
Around the corner,
around the country,
or around the world, take WFHR with you wherever you go.
Take us to work, on the boat, or in the stand this hunting season.
Download the Civic Media app and make WFHR your co-pilot all day, every day. And never miss another news update, Badger game, or serious comedy to start your day.
WFHR is here for our community by keeping you informed and entertained. So take us with you and never miss a beat.
While there are many unexpected factors that can affect the next growing season, farmers have grown to expect the expected with Rank Seed. Our consistent top-end yields come from strict quality control, trusted technology, and local dealers invested in your success. Rank Seed has been a family-owned and operated business since 1846. More than 175 years later, we still have the highest performing genetics on the market in all environments. Expect the expected with Rank Seed.
Stop surfing the dial. You've found the greatest radio station ever. Locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR, 1320 AM.
Again, Billy Joel's album Stormfront hit number one this day in 1989, containing that hit. And, of course, we didn't start the fire as we were talking about in our first segment here. These temperatures around Wisconsin this morning, a lot of them with fog or freezing fog being reported. We're at 31 right now here on Lake Wissota, 32 in Madison. La Crosse is at 38. Wausau, 33. Wisconsin Rapids down to 32. Green Bay's up a couple degrees to 40, but Hayward is down a degree from last hour and is now at 27 degrees. Let's bring on Jennifer Wachitsky from Weatherology to talk more about the chilly temperatures, getting this fog burned off, and what the forecast looks like for midweek. Jennifer, good morning.
Good morning. Yeah, like you said, some areas looking at some fog here early this morning. Otherwise, we are expecting it to burn off overall here for today. We are expecting to see temperatures essentially pretty average by the afternoon hours. Looks like a sunny day today. Highs in the upper 50s to low 60s for most. A couple of warmer spots getting into the mid-60s around Amory and Richland Center, actually. Wednesday, a chance for some rain showers across the board. Cloudy skies, looks like mid to low 60s for most again. Upper 50s around west central Wisconsin as that stationary front starts to build in. A similar forecast with that stationary front on Thursday, chance for rain on Thursday for all, slightly cooler by just a few degrees, mid-50s to right around about 60. Then on Friday, kind of all over the place, slight chance for rain showers from Milwaukee over to Madison and also around Amory and Baldwin. Sunny skies expected around Richland Center, then cloudy from Oshkosh through central Wisconsin. Slight chance for rain coming in by Friday night for those areas that aren't expected to see it during the day. High temperatures, though, similar to Thursday, mid-50s to right around about 60. So temperature-wise, not too much movement overall for the middle and second part of the work week.
And you can get that Weatherology forecast updated a couple times an hour throughout the day all across the Civic Media Radio Network. Jennifer, thanks very much. Have a great day.
Thanks, you too.
All right. Let's take a look at sports now at 7:17. And for us, that would start with the baseball playoffs. The Philadelphia Phillies are up 1-0 over the Arizona Diamondbacks in the National League Championship Series. Bryce Harper hit a home run on his 31st birthday. The final score was 5-3. Game two is tonight in Philly. In the American League, the Texas Rangers have defeated the Houston Astros in Houston twice now, and so they take a 2-0 lead back to Arlington, Texas for game three of that series, and that will take place tomorrow. Badger quarterback Tanner Mordecai is out indefinitely. He did break his throwing hand in Saturday's loss at Iowa when he hit it on an Iowa player's helmet. The coach there, Luke Fickell, did not set any kind of timetable for a possible return. The Badger women's hockey team continues to be ranked best in the nation, a 6-0 record. They will play in Madison this coming weekend against Minnesota State. The men's hockey team is 3-1 with 2 games to go before opening up Big Ten Conference play. Their only loss was last Saturday at 7th-ranked North Dakota. This weekend, they'll be at 17th-ranked Michigan Tech. All right, I mentioned that the Wisconsin legislature is back in session here and that there are essentially two sessions going on right now. There's the regular fall legislative session, and then there's a special session called by Governor Tony Evers to address some items that either weren't taken care of in the state budget bill or they were, but not nearly to everyone's satisfaction. And so the governor called a special session back in August. He called it for now, saying, come on in, let's talk about these issues, especially the Child Care Counts program and getting that funded properly so that these child care providers don't go out of business. And Republicans in the legislature said no. They scrapped the bill. They said, What you really need is a tax cut that's geared toward the higher incomes. And Governor Evers responded yesterday by noting that he's going to allocate $170 million in still unspent pandemic relief funds to keep the Child Care Counts program going until at least early 2025. That program has helped more than 4,000 child care providers keep their doors open since 2020. Those providers take care of 22,000 workers and 113,000 children. And again, it was funded entirely with federal pandemic relief funds. But then with that money set to run out come January, the governor said, hey, we have this surplus, which was confirmed yesterday, to be $7 billion. We can certainly use some of that to keep our workforce from being depleted as people have to stay home because they don't have childcare options. You shouldn't face a tighter budget for childcare for having two people in the workforce. And so one parent often has to stay home instead. And we could do better for a workforce that is desperate for good people in many of these jobs. Well, the Senate said no. Senate Republicans, and they will be talking about that and much more today when they're in session. I mean, they have a laundry list of bills that they're going to be going through. There's one that micromanages the definition of abortion. There's one that removes the school district penalty box, as we've been calling it, that says that if a school district goes to referendum and the referendum fails, then for 3 years, they would not be able to get an increase in the bare minimum amount of state aid. I mean, it was a very punitive bill. And as a result, there are school districts throughout the state this year that are facing getting less state aid than last year, again, with a $7 billion surplus. And so this bill looks to be a bipartisan bill, the kind that would pass. Now, as I'm looking at the Senate calendar for today, and I didn't count it up, there's looks to be about 50 bills that they're taking up today. And this gets to a beef that I had when I was serving in the legislature about 15 years ago. And it's as true today as it was then. Our legislators get a salary of a little more than $50,000 a year. It's a full-time salary, and they are classified as full-time employees. And so they are expected, in all of their working hours, 365 days a year, that their focus would be on their full-time job of being a state legislator. But far, far too often, there are these immense gaps between the times when work gets done. And then you see a session calendar like this one, where a legislator will be sitting there, and I guarantee you, almost every legislator at some point today is going to be looking at this calendar and saying, I would like to know more about this bill. I would like to know about, you know, Senate Bill 85, authorizing email for notice of public inland lake protection and rehabilitation district board business. I would like to know more about Senate Bill 54, the amount of allowable cash withdrawal from a bingo account for the purpose of paying cash prizes. Why are we doing that? Is it a good idea or a bad idea, the language that's in the bill? Now, some would say that's why we have a committee system. These bills all go to committees and people take testimony and then we put it out there. And by and large, I mean, the concept is true, that if things go through committee and if legislators do their due diligence in committee, then what, the Senate is and the Assembly are just supposed to be rubber stamps? It seems to me that if you're going to have a legislature, then rather than saying everything that comes out of committee is pretty much ready to go as is, just trust us, just pass the bill. I mean, what are we paying them to be in session for? Let's just let the, you know, 5 to 7 members of a legislative committee determine everything that happens in that area
and all the other legislators can't question it. It's just really tough today if I'm looking at, let's say, here's Senate Bill 440, creation of a cremation permit application form. Assembly Bill 105, operation of an all-terrain vehicle or utility terrain vehicle owned by an electric cooperative on a highway. You know, some of these things are indeed just caretaker legislation, things that were maybe oversights, maybe cleaning up a definition, something like that. But when I see Senate Bill 416, grants to counties for veteran services, well, what do we mean by that? Are these good grants for veteran services? Is this a way for, you know, something shifty to happen in veterans' offices or in county offices some places? And how can you possibly expect legislators to operate this way when they're getting a salary as a full-time employee? That instead of jamming all this together for a few session days in October and jamming it all together for a few session days in, you know, April and May and maybe early June, that maybe you would meet more frequently with fewer bills and really discuss them. And if you really discuss bills, if you really discuss ideas with each other instead of talking at each other, like we see Republicans and Democrats do now, maybe there on the floor of the Senate or on the floor of the Assembly, you could find that common ground that helps solve some of these big problems. Is it really the case that to help child care centers, the answer is for the governor to find emergency funding someplace? Or is it really the answer to put $0 toward it, as some Republicans want? Is that what every Republican legislator really thinks, is to tell all these child care providers, you should just go ahead and go out of business? I'd like to think the answer is somewhere in the middle. It would be for you and me if we were sitting in a room and we were tasked with that. Why can't we still expect that from our state legislators? I mean, and that's just the Senate. Over in the Assembly today, everybody knows the one big bill that they're doing is about the American Family Field deal for some public funding to accompany the Brewers funding for future repairs and renovations. Everybody's talked about that. But there are plenty of other things about, you know, a bill that designs the healthcare coverage plans for public safety employees. And there's a case management system for tracking misconduct within the Wisconsin National Guard. Should these things really just be done willy-nilly, or should we get what we're paying our legislators to do? And I can say this as somebody who's been in there, who's been on a committee, who's chaired a committee, who knows that it is hard work during those times when you're dedicated to doing that work. It's not the fault of any particular legislator, but it's the way that they have this system set up right now in terms of committees and floor debates that really does lend itself to more partisan sniping than is necessary. A lot of these bills do pass on bipartisan votes, but in a lot of cases, that legislator's thinking, well, okay, I'll go along with this based on what I'm reading, but it sure would be nice to learn a bit more about it and maybe actually talk about these things on the floor of the legislature. We'll take a break here. Hans Breitenmoser will come visit with us, bring along a guest, Courtney Berner, to talk about Wisconsin cooperatives, their past and perhaps their future. We'll be back. You're up north.
Nothing better than the Vilas Zoo and the Old Brick Gardens.
Except maybe Mad Radio 92.7 WMDX.
ABC News.
From the home of the Cranberry Blossom Festival, your news talk and sports station is locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Locally grown 1320 AM and 97.5 FM WFHR programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios.
Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
Right arm, right leg.
Left leg, left arm.
Both legs above the knee.
Both legs, part of my left hand.
Lost both my legs in Iraq.
These 9/11 veterans are just a few of the heroes we serve at Homes for Our Troops. For nearly 2,000 severely injured veterans, everyday life has become filled with barriers. So we build specially adapted homes with features like wheelchair access, roll-in showers, and pull-down cabinets that allow them to function independently and focus on their recovery and family. This life-changing gift of freedom is provided mortgage-free to these veterans, thanks to our donors and supporters. But we need you to join us, too, in completing this important mission. Please visit HFOTUSA.org and help build homes and rebuild lives.
My friend Teddy almost set his house on fire. He used a counterfeit, you know, a fake wall charger. He had to go to the hospital.
My big sister Jenna's face turned bright red. She was just showing people online how to use a new cream. She still has the scars.
My brother's friend Billy had to jump off his motor scooter when it caught fire. He fell and got hit by a car. He broke his leg, blew his chances to play basketball in college.
My BFF Chloe was riding her bike and hit a ditch. Her helmet broke in two. Now, she has a brain injury.
There is a cost to buying cheap. Do you want to pay the price?
Real products are tested for safety. Protect yourself. Don't fall for fake products.
Visit ncpc.org/goforreal. Brought to you by the National Crime Prevention Council and the United States Patent and Trademark Office.
Children are the greatest joy and our best hope for a better future. Friends, they are the future. But did you know that millions of kids right here in our own backyard are facing hunger every day? Without healthy food, it's harder to grow, to thrive, to feel their best.
The impact when children don't have enough to eat is tremendous, because when you're hungry and your basic needs aren't being met, you cannot learn.
Every child deserves to be fed. This is a problem we know how to solve. Food is not just food. It's energy, health, confidence, hope, and even love. Yes, love.
Breakfast in the classroom contributes to kids being more focused, which leads to higher grades, and simply just their well-being.
Thank you!
Learn more about how No Kid Hungry is helping end child hunger in America at helpnokidhungry.org.
Bug Tussle, providing high-speed internet to rural Wisconsin. No data caps, no contracts. 877-227-0924. Call today to get high-speed internet now. 877-227-0924.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. A frost advisory continues until 7 a.m. this morning. Sunshine mixed with clouds at times. Today, daytime highs approaching 59. Winds out of the west around 5 miles per hour. Lows dip down to about 46. Tonight, cloudy skies. Overcast skies. Tomorrow, scattered rain showers likely. High of 60. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 32.
Jackson turns 65 years old today as we welcome in Hans Brighton Moser. Usually have him in every couple of weeks or so. And he's a dairy farmer up in the Merrill area. And we find different topics in the area of agriculture, the rural economy, state and local politics as well, as a former county board member. And this time around, we're going to be talking about cooperatives. Hans, we haven't talked for a couple of weeks because of my vacation in the middle here. So how are you? How have you been?
Pretty good. How have you been, Pat? How was your vacation?
It was wonderful. It was so great to be out west and out there for the potato harvest, where you could watch a lot of activity going on there. What's been keeping you busy on the farm up there?
Well, we got some more manure hauled, and we got a bunch of winter rye planted. We still have a whole bunch of corn to combine, and like to make some hay yet and combine some beans. So we've got plenty to do. It's kind of ironically, we're trying to get things done between rain showers, which was certainly not an issue over the entirety of the summer, but now it sort of is. So
how that's crazy is that? That has been the thing, even for something as basic as mowing the lawn. Is like, we used to be able to not even have to do it, or you could do it on demand. And now it's like, now we're working around the rain, but you know, such as it is. Hey, part of the reason Wisconsin has the agriculture history that it does is because of cooperatives. And so as we get set to welcome in Courtney Berner to the program, this was the choice of this topic was spurred by a typical calendar item. I think it was National Cooperative Week or Month or something like that. And I guess that got you to thinking. Tell me a bit why.
Yeah, well, October is Cooperative Month. And I just thought that co-ops are one of those interesting forms of business that a lot of people don't know about, don't understand, but have an impact on I would say, just about everybody's life. And certainly in agriculture, we are familiar with co-ops because that's kind of the form of business that we do business with oftentimes. Our feed cooperatives and our livestock cooperatives and our dairy processing cooperatives are just so ingrained in ag culture in Wisconsin and I think the United States. But I think Wisconsin has a pretty interesting history on cooperatives. And so it got me to thinking about, you know, taking this opportunity to highlight October being co-op month and bringing somebody in who understands the moving parts better than I do and maybe understands a little bit of the history. Because I think, it's important because it's just so impactful in how we do business. And I think if people understood more about cooperatives and how they actually work, that they're owned by the people who use them, I think people would be able to gain an appreciation for sort of how democratic they are in terms of, you know, commerce. The owning the means of the production and the processing and so forth has a big impact in ag, but it's like I said, it has a lot of an impact in other areas as well. Electric co-ops that were very popular back in the day helped get the state electrified is just one example. But I think Courtney can do a lot better job than I can of explaining.
I don't know. You're doing a great job. Just keep going.
There you go. Well, let's bring in Courtney Berner. She's the executive director of the University of Wisconsin Center for Cooperatives. Courtney, good morning. Thank you for being here.
Morning. Yeah, thanks for having me.
Well, Hans got started, but I'm gonna just roll that back a little bit because. Okay. There are more than one or two people out there saying that they've heard of cooperatives. They're familiar with the word, the name, but when it really gets down to what is a cooperative, and especially in its historical, legacy here in Wisconsin, how do you tell that? Pick on any city kid like me. What's a cooperative?
Yeah. You know, it's funny. I was presenting to a group of ag business majors at UW-Madison yesterday, and I asked them that same question. I'm like, what do you know about co-ops? Tell me what you know. What co-ops have you interacted with? So essentially, we think of a cooperative as a business or an enterprise that's owned, used, and controlled by the people who use it. So that shows up. Hans has done a great job of talking about how that shows up in the agricultural economy for farmers. But we have co-ops across the economy. So we've got consumer-owned co-ops, food co-ops, REI, credit unions are actually financial services cooperatives. So the people who have deposits and accounts within the credit union are members. You can have worker-owned cooperatives here in Madison. We have a coffee roasting company, a cab company, an engineering firm. They're all owned by the people who work. They're all owned by the people who work there. There's purchasing co-op. So Ace Hardware, you may have an Ace Hardware in your community. That's actually part of a purchasing co-op where small business owners amass their purchasing power. So really, it's a really flexible model that, again, we see across the economy. Here in Wisconsin, there's a really strong history of co-ops in ag and in rural communities. But it can be applied in a lot of ways. And one of the things that makes them really different from other forms of enterprise, again, is that instead of being owned by investors and existing to generate, you know, returns for those investors, they literally exist for their members to meet the needs of members. You often see cooperatives emerge in places and times where there's a collective need, whether it's for electricity, access to dairy markets, living wage jobs, certain types of groceries, housing cooperatives, childcare cooperatives are getting a lot of attention right now. No surprise. A lot of people are struggling to find childcare and housing. So that's a business, but it really, again, exists to meet the needs of the people who come together to form that business.
Let me be just self-serving for just a second here to note that Up North News is owned by Courier Newsroom, a separate entity from Civic Media. And then Courier Newsroom is owned by a parent company called Good Information that is set up as what's called a public benefit corporation. Mm-hmm. And the way it's described is, hey, we're a corporation. We're not a nonprofit. We're here to make a profit. But by calling ourselves a public benefit corporation, we are specifically saying any profit is not designed to enrich our investors or shareholders. It is designed to be plowed back in to, you know, the work that the company does. Mm-hmm. In other words, it gets past this whole notion that has been so prominent for the past 30, 40 years, this fiduciary duty to shareholders, that it somehow absolves companies of blame for, you know, price hikes or working conditions or whatever, you know, outsourcing, because, well, we've got to put the shareholders first. It's what's good for the shareholders. The cooperative model seems to be, you know, the natural answer to something that is much more about mission than margin.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a saying, I don't know who says this, I'd be the only one who's still saying this, but the idea of cooperatives, the idea is so old that it's new. It's investor-owned firms, that model has generated a lot of wealth for a lot of people, but it is fundamentally different. You make different decisions as a business if your main reason for being is to generate a return for shareholders. It just impacts strategy, decision-making, all those things. And when you exist for public benefit, such as the example you're giving, or when you exist to meet the needs of members. And I just talked about some of the ways in which cooperatives are different, the different types of members they have, the different parts of the economy they might show up in. There's a set of seven cooperative principles that all cooperatives around the world adhere to. Some parts of the co-op community have added additional ones, but those seven core principles, in addition to one principle about, you know, member economic participation, democratic member control, there's also a principle about care for community. And so this idea that we are a business that meets needs of members, but also the broader community, does really just shift how these co-op businesses operate, whether it's how they choose to pay, you know, what milk prices they're paying to dairy farmers, what they're charging people that are buying their it really does just shift a whole orientation and can be a really powerful model for changing people's lives and meeting shared social, economic, cultural needs.
Hey, Hans, what I'm hearing here, I'm sure you've heard this a million times, not about cooperatives necessarily, but I'm hearing, oh my gosh, it's socialism. they've seized the means of production, as you said. But Hans, the difference being, this isn't government seizing the means of production. These are people working amongst themselves and for themselves, right, Hans?
Oh, absolutely. And I think, again, if you look back at the kind of the early history of co-ops, some of the folks who were worried about the impact that cooperatives would have, they did cry socialism. But of course, that's nonsense. What this means of doing commerce does is it keeps these dollars revolving back into the hands of the folks that are actually have skin in the game. And so it does help a great deal in terms of one of the things that you and I have talked about in the past is just the extraction that we see in rural America. Dollars leaving our localities and going to Wall Street. Well, if those dollars can stay and bounce around locally, they have a greater impact and they do grow. So when we talk about how the money that's been created for shareholders over the years, if you take that and say, man, if those dollars were put back into the system, how would that system look? So this model definitely has an impact in rural America with regard to all the things that make rural America function. You know, when we talk about a tax base and so forth, roads and schools and so on, it's all about keeping those dollars here, bouncing around versus having that extraction component.
So
and those businesses are, I'll just add, those businesses are less likely to leave too. These are businesses that are embedded in their local communities. So in addition to the really important benefits Hans just mentioned, they're also, they stay, you know, these aren't jobs that are leaving because it's cheaper to do the work elsewhere. They're truly embedded in the communities.
Absolutely. And the decision-making process, you know, again, what my dad was on a local cooperative board for many years. And that was just sort of part of the benefit, right? When the people that are sitting around the table making the decisions on the business are entrenched in the community, it does matter. It obviously speaks to what decisions are made around that table. Now, one of the things that, it, you know, in ag that we've seen is that co-ops have gotten bigger and bigger. And part of that is just sort of the natural progression of things. But I think that one of the things that concerns me on that is how do we maintain, you know, the economics of the local co-op so that we can still, you know, continue to have that local control is one mm-hmm. of the things that I see a trend in co-ops. But the basic model of it is still, I think, superior to the just sort of the extraction that we've seen with other businesses.
Sure, because you've got people saying, well, wait, is this still, you know, capitalism? Well, yes, it most certainly is. There's still competition, but it has always been a place for collective bargaining, you know, in capitalism, and the same goes for other forms of you know, collective and cooperative work. So, Courtney, when I go to the website, which is UWCC for UW Center for Cooperatives, UWCC.wisc.edu, the thing I see up in the top banner there is start a co-op. So for folks thinking, oh, co-ops are some, you know, relic of a bygone era, co-ops are something people could get more information about for a particular sector of the economy in their hometown?
Absolutely. So actually, I joined the center as a cooperative development specialist in 2011. And so I help people around the state start new cooperatives in a variety of industries. And we have three people on our team right now who are cooperative development specialists. And so if you call our center, if you contact our center, you know, there's a need in your community and you think it might make sense to try to meet that need collectively through a co-op, give us a call, shoot us an email. We serve the whole state. We're located at the UW-Madison office, but we're part of Extension and we serve the whole state. So that's a big part of our work right now is helping people who want to create new co-ops do so or convert businesses. One of our sort of growing areas of work is, you know, business owners who want to retire or exit may not have an exit plan, a succession plan. We are supporting some really cool rural businesses and supporting those owners and selling the businesses to their employees and turning them into worker co-ops, keeping those jobs, services, tax-based businesses in those rural communities. So if you're a business owner and you don't think this has anything to do with you, I'm here to tell you that there is, that you can call us.
That is fascinating. That is a really great spin on something that we've heard before about people not sure what to do when it comes time to retire. So we've learned a lot in just a few minutes here. Courtney Berner, Executive Director of the University of Wisconsin Center for Cooperatives, thank you very much. It was great to visit with you.
Yeah, thanks so much, Pat. Thanks,
yep. Hans. Hans, so good to talk to you as well. Have a great week. We'll talk to you again soon.
You bet. Thank you.
All right. Ciao. Have a great day, you guys. Talk to you later. When we come back, Chad Holmes will tell us what's happening on Bull Falls Radio in Wausau. Right after this, you're up north.
A new head coach.
We got one objective and one goal, is to play for a championship.
A talented backfield.
Braylon Allen does it again.
And a defense that just...
Down he goes.
Won't.
Intercepted. He's gone.
Stop.
Another turnover forced.
Join us Saturday. The Badgers hit the road to take on the Fighting Illini. Our coverage begins at 12:30 on your home for Wisconsin football.
It's about effort. It's about intensity.
The Badger Sports Network from Learfield.
Cranberry juice, cranberry wine, cranberry brats, cranberry cream puffs. And excuse me, but my cranberry bread is ready. It's cranberry season in Wisconsin, and we're the cranberry capital of not just the U.S., but our farmers also produce more than half of the world's cranberry supply. So can you guess which state Wisconsin beat out to earn the number one spot? New Jersey? Washington State? Massachusetts? The answer coming up. Fall is harvest time, and you can see the machines rolling through the marshlands, which are flooded to help the cranberries float to the top. But it hasn't always been this
easy. Back in the mid-1800s, the berries had to be picked by hand. It took another 100 years for the right equipment to be built to help with this harvest. Okay, so Wisconsin owns the cranberry capital title, but which state lost it to us? Massachusetts, which has been number two ever since. By the way, the cranberry is the official state fruit, making it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network. Disabled or an elderly Medicare beneficiary with questions about Part D prescription benefits? The Disability Rights Wisconsin Medicare Part D Helpline is here for you. Ask about saving money on your Part D premium, deductible, and co-pays. Call the Disability Rights Wisconsin Medicare Part D Helpline anytime. 1-800-926-4862. 1-800-926-4862. Medicare's annual open enrollment runs October 15th through December 7th.
News, talk, and sports on both sides of the dial from Wisconsin Rapids and beyond. Locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Chad Holmes is going to be coming along next on Bull Falls Radio up in Wausau. Plenty of other shows across the Civic Media Radio Network. To learn more, go to civicmedia.us. Look for the stations, look for the shows, look for ways to listen online as a podcast or through the Civic Media app, where you can catch Chad as I do through the app. And I'm on his show on Thursdays as well, and he joins us. And it's so funny that I lost track of the time as we were chatting during the commercial break here, because that's exactly what happened last Thursday when I'm on with Chad. And I'm just, you know, going on and on and on about something, and suddenly I hear Chad going, "Thanks, Pat. We'll be back." It's just like, oh, yeah, those clocks are supposed to be important. I should really look at those more often.
Well, I tell you, I mean, for Pat Kreitlow, we should have floating clocks. That's number one. You know, number one, Pat Kreitlow, floating clocks, so we can just as long as we need to go.
Sure, sure. Or I could.
Can you hear me okay?
I feel like there's a little delay and you're a little muffled, but, you know, you're there. And that's the important thing here is that he's in the
break up on me as well.
Okay. you if you want to disconnect and hop back in, we can give it a try here. Or do you want to power through it?
Let's try to go through here.
Well, here, I'll just throw you a nice open end of softball and you tell me what's happening in the Wausau area that you have been talking about. What are one or two of the big topics on Bull Falls Radio this week?
Well, yesterday I had the mayor come on. It was always interesting to talk to her because right now it's interesting. We got a significant, as I mentioned, you just coming off in the break, that we're right across from some significant construction here at the old Wausau Center Mall site. And we've had over the last, 6 weeks or so, some controversy with Terrence Wall. As I learned more about him from you than anybody else, because I didn't realize this guy was a political figure previously. But him and the city have had some conflict recently. And just last week, the city decided after some study, they would give him an extension in order to start the process of what's called the Foundry on Third, which is mixed use of both residential apartments and also some business. But Terry Wall continues to rip on members of the council. And it's very difficult for a city to have trust right now with a person that you are trusting to help put up a major, significant building project. And it feels to me, and again, it's a situation for me where it feels like Mr. Wall, for some reason, is trying to find maybe a way out of this. The city has given him the extension. They have put in some parts of their deal to make sure that they're covered. But it's very disconcerting because this was a project that was supposed to be started September 1st, but Mr. Wall had all these excuses why he couldn't do it, you know, from cost to, you know, to the supply chain and everything else. And somehow, you know, he said, well, somehow it's the city's fault. Well, it's not the city's fault. He had a deal made. And now we have this going on, and I'm very, you know, it's something to keep an eye on because this is a major project here downtown. It's important to every business downtown. It's important to the community, and it's something that we keep an eye on. And this man that's using his politics again instead of just, you know, being what he's supposed to be in this situation. a partner within a construction for a city. And yet he's sending out these notes yakking about how, you know, we have an oncoming recession and blah, 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 political crap. And it's really, really, really bugs me to no end.
And let's talk about the importance of downtown development this way. In Chippewa Falls, we're very fortunate that we have a healthy downtown. There are very few vacant storefronts. And the city is essentially getting its next business district, you know, a festival foods, grocery store, a Quick Trip, a Culver's, a hotel, all going up along Highway 29. And that's all fine and good. But it doesn't matter how your development is on the freeways and on the periphery. If people come into town and they see empty lots or, you know, vacant storefronts and everything. And so you need to do that right. Because a downtown that is not developed, that's not developed well, you know, that's something that can undo a lot of other goodwill that, you know, the city and the business community might be doing.
I'm going to flip my computer around for you and give you a piece of, give you a site, which is right outside a window.
Chad is now turning his computer around so I can see out there.
Part of the construction that's going on right outside. This is you know, this is actually being worked on, but even down a half a block or so is the T-Wall Foundry and Third, which is the actual site of the former mall. But we're fortunate in this area that our downtown is vibrant. We have a lot of great businesses right down here where we're now located downtown. But this is a vital, you know, and the aspect of having new apartments as well. Housing right now is a major issue in our community, not just here in Wausau, but the general central Wisconsin area. And we have, I think, 120 units being part of this construction right downtown, in addition to the business aspect. So, again, it's just so often nowadays, and I hope this changes at some point where somebody's political beliefs get into areas where they really shouldn't be. And Wall is bringing out his own political beliefs in these comments he's making, and it's disconcerting. We need to, you know, everybody has their right to their political beliefs, but in using it in a business aspect like this, I think is just off the mark.
We haven't had Mayor Katie Rosenberg on this show for a while here, and so I think it's interesting. I'm betting that she brought it up yesterday. I certainly saw it in a social media post. The people that see her last name and assume that Katie Rosenberg is Jewish, she is not, but that does not stop her from getting a lot of attention, positive and negative, that is really ratcheting up because of the issues in the Middle East.
Absolutely. And I mean, this is not something new, because I think you may have heard in the last, I mean, time just, you know, it has no meaning half the time anymore. But in the last year, there was an incident here in Wausau where there was folks that were putting out anti-Semitic flyers at one of the synagogues here in Wausau. And the mayor was very much active in that, and she had mentioned the same thing, that there's this thought that, you know, that she's a member of the Jewish faith. But you're exactly right. But she's been very strong in this area. And unfortunately, I mean, you know, when you say this, the recent news headlines, it's been there for the last year, and it's been there for the last number of years in different areas around the country. Again, it is just incredibly disconcerting where folks are looking for excuses to see the differences, when instead of looking at the humanity of all of us. And it's, again, something that it makes you shake your head, and you need people that are true leaders. And unfortunately, in this community, we do have a leader that is willing to speak out on these issues and be a strong presence for the side of good in our community.
I don't think anybody captures that, the good in humanity from all faiths, from all backgrounds, than Katie Rosenberg does. Folks are very fortunate to have her in the mayor's chair there. We are very fortunate to have Chad Holmes in that chair there on Bull Falls Radio from 8 to 10 on weekday mornings. Thanks so much for the visit. We'll get into, you know, all the high school sports you're covering next time around. I think that's still going to keep you busy when we talk next week. So, have a great week. We'll talk to you later.
Thank you, Pat.
All right. And tomorrow on this program, we'll talk more about a new lawsuit aimed at ending the voucher school program that's devouring so much of our public school funds. Have a great Tuesday. We'll see you tomorrow.
Look, if you're...
Hi, I'm Ryan Blaney, a third-generation race car driver, and we dedicate a lot of our time to going as fast as possible. My Grandpa Lou is the reason why my dad and I started racing, and I'm really proud to follow in his tracks. But when my grandpa was diagnosed with Alzheimer's, it was a very unexpected bump in the road for us. I've learned a lot on this journey with my Grandpa Lou, and the memories of my grandpa will always be with me. It's important to notice if older family members are acting differently, experiencing problems with their memory, or having trouble with routine tasks. Talking about Alzheimer's can be really tough, but if you notice something, have a conversation with your loved one. Encourage them to see a doctor or offer to go with them. Early detection of Alzheimer's can give your family time to explore support services, make a plan for the future, and access available treatments. The Alzheimer's Association provides care, support, and research to help you take control of the situation with your family and manage the disease together. If you or your family are noticing changes, it could be Alzheimer's. Talk about seeing a doctor together. Visit alz.org/time to talk. A message from the Alzheimer's Association.
WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE. Broadcasting at 97.5.